In 1979, a friend and I came upon a hilarious sight, a blue jay fledgling playing on a playground slide. He'd hop up to the bottom and then flutter as hard as he could to work his way up the slippery slope. He never got even halfway up before gravity took over. He'd make a quick about face and flap his little wings as hard as he could, sliding down to the bottom. He'd stay aloft for a second or two before dropping to the dirt below. Then he'd start up the slide all over again. It was one of the most adorable things I've ever seen. An hour or so later, I grew uneasy. I vaguely remembered seeing adult blue jays flying back and forth overhead, but they completely ignored the fledgling. So Russ and I went back to the park just in time to discover it in the mouth of a golden retriever. Fortunately, it must have been a well-trained hunting dog because it held the little bird gently, and when I reached out to take it, the dog handed it right over. There were a few drops of blood and a good supply of saliva on the little guy, but otherwise he seemed fine. The moment his eyes met mine, an electrical surge seemed to go through me, sparking a love affair. As captivating as blue jays are to my eyes, it turns out they're even better at capturing my heart. Riding home, the beautiful bird snuggled into my hands and looked at me with bright, trusting eyes. I was a teacher and still had a few days of school to go, so I brought the bird with me every day, carrying him in a shoebox on the bus. I fed him every 15 minutes, whether I was in the middle of a lesson or at recess. The kids in my classes were as charmed as I, and that meant that 60 more people were invested in his survival, too. Over the summer, I had several extraordinary adventures with Ludwig. He learned to ring a bell from a Parker Brothers pit game and to play fetch with a toy propeller. These and other stories are included in today's blog post. One time, Ludwig got caught in a storm. Every lightning bolt and blast of thunder made me more anxious about him. When the rain finally stopped, I rode my bike all around the neighborhood calling his name and finally found him sitting on a telephone line directly above a bus stop, feathers so plastered against his body that he didn't look anything like a blue jay, just a gray sodden mass squawking, "Ma! Ma!" A dozen or so people were waiting for the bus as I pulled my bike to a stop. That was back when I still clung to a shred of a sense of dignity, and I felt my face grow hot as I called, "Come on down, Ludwig." He dropped like a rock, fortunately, onto the slim patch of grass between the sidewalk and the curb. He hopped up to me yelling, "Ma! Ma!" as the people stared and laughed. Thanks to this spunky little blue jay, my sense of dignity slowly dissolved. Some of us get so wrapped up in self-consciousness that we forget that absurdities creep into everybody's life. We need to outgrow that to become genuine human beings, which requires, intriguingly, that we live our lives more like blue jays. That was one important lesson I took from those magical days with Ludwig. By summer's end, he was spending most nights outside and only once or twice a day coming into our yard. The last day I saw him was the last day of summer vacation. Through that fall and winter, whenever I saw a blue jay, I wondered if it could be Ludwig. When Russ and I were in Chicago during spring vacation, a warm breeze floated into Madison. Our next-door neighbor was out sunning herself when she spotted a blue jay alight on each of our apartment windows, peeking in and tapping on the glass. He landed on her lawn chair and studied her a bit, and then tried the windows once more and finally flew off. I felt so sad when she told me I'd missed him, but so joyful to know that he'd survived the winter. 4 decades later, I still feel a quiet joy, knowing that even as he was leading his life as a proper blue jay should, he kept in his mind a little memory of me. Ludwig was the best bird ever. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.